Contaminated soil is discovered during work at the Skagway Small Boat Harbor, and the state issues the results of an investigation into a commercial tour operator in the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Contaminated soil was recently found near the Skagway Small Boat Harbor, where the first phase of a planned harbor expansion is taking place. Hamilton Construction is a company working on the project. Workers first turned up some abandoned pipes in the area in October. Skagway interim manager Tom Healy says the pipes had some oil residue in them, but they were drained and then properly stored. Then, in November, construction crews doing dredging and excavation work on the inner tideland slope near the harbormaster's office found more pipes and petroleum products in the soil. One of the pipes contained some oil product. Healy said the contaminated pipe was drained and capped and the soil removed. The municipality contacted the State Department of Conservation, he said. Crystal Smith, with the DEC Southeast Alaska Response Team, said about 100 cubic yards of soil and about 200 gallons of product was removed from a 6-inch line at the site. She said she coordinated with Hamilton Construction to temporarily store the contaminated soil on an impermeable lining with a cover at one of the company's property at 2.5-mile Klondike Highway, while more testing on the soil is done by a consulting company.
They wrote up a sampling plan for the area at the harbor because they want to make sure that they've gotten all the contamination there was. And so they were coming in and they were going to be taking some soil samples just to ensure that there is no more contamination that remains down by the harbor.
Skagway officials also notified White Pass Yukon Railroad of the contamination because, Healy said, there's a possibility the contamination stems from when the company had petroleum operations in that area several years ago.
So as a potentially responsible party, we felt it was important to at least notify them, to tell them what we found and to give them notice of the incident. There has been no determination on that yet. We're getting in. They've actually asked for some information on the incidents, and we're providing that to them. So,
Smith said state regulations dictate who is responsible for such a contamination, but this case is a bit confusing since a municipality owns the land, but the pipes and petroleum product may have previously belonged to a different entity.
With our state regulations, what it is the responsibility is on whoever owns the fuel and who the owner of the property or operator of the system. And so in order for it to be White Pass, the city or White Pass has to kind of prove whose fuel was running through that line. And so for right now, all I know is that it's the city's responsibility as it stands now until we can get some further information on that.
Smith said a consulting firm has developed a testing plan for the soil to determine its contents. She said DEC will continue to monitor the testing and remediation.
What our role is we want to ensure that the site gets cleaned up and that all of the contamination is dealt with properly.
The Skagway Small Boat Harbor project is in its final phase, which includes dredging and replacing floats. Future phases of the project will include more construction and improvements. The total cost of the harbor project is estimated at about $11 million. Manager Healy said the contamination discovery did not delay the harbor project except for a day or two. The state says it did not find evidence to support a claim that a jet boat tour operator violated conditions of its permit to operate in the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve. Ben Ellis, director of the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation, issued the response Tuesday to complaints filed in September by Lynn Canal Conservation. The group alleged the violations against Chilkat River Adventures, saying the company's boats produced wakes in a no-wake zone within the Bald Eagle Preserve, violating its commercial operator permit. LCC had 27 photos with its complaint it said clearly illustrated the no-wake violations. But Director Ellis disagreed. He wrote in his response that State Park Ranger Preston Kors did not find evidence in the photos or through an investigation that would support citing River Adventures for any violations. The findings disappointed Ben Kirkpatrick, who sits on the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve Advisory Council as representative for conservation agencies.
And to my mind, the pictures were very clear that there were very obvious wakes in the photos. Fish and Game recommended to parks a number of years ago that a no-wake zone be instituted for a very specific reason of protecting habitat, and there clearly were wakes.
The preserve is not a state park, but is managed by the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation and governed by its own set of state statutes. The main purpose of the preserve is to protect and perpetuate the world's largest concentration of bald eagles and their critical habitat. In the preserve's management plan, permitted and licensed commercial tour operators are prohibited from producing boat wakes in the tributaries of the Chilkat, Klehini, and Sirku River systems. But Ranger Kors writes in his investigation memo that the preserve's management plan has contradicting information regarding the no-wake zones. The plan says commercial motorized vessels must operate so that no boat wakes are produced and a no-wake speed of 4 miles per hour is not exceeded. But Kors writes that any boat at any speed will create a wake. So he conducted his investigation based on whether the boats exceeded a 4 mile per hour speed. Ranger Kors details in his memo how he calculated the speed of the boats photographed by Lynn Canal Conservation in its complaint. He determined most of them showed the boat operating under 4 miles per hour and thereby producing a wake allowable under the plan. In the photos showing the largest wakes, Kors said he determined the boats were not operating a commercial tour at that time, but rather were on a pleasure trip with friends and family of the company owners. He writes, Riverboat Adventures was able to corroborate that through company records. Therefore, commercial permit stipulations don't apply to those instances, Kors wrote. Ellis also dismisses Lynn Canal Conservation's request for changes in the preserve's management. He writes, the division has no plans to change current practices. But because of the contradicting language that Kors notes in his memo, Director Ellis writes in his findings that he believes there is a need to improve and clarify language for commercial use permits regarding allowable boat wakes. That's at least one thing the state and conservation groups agree on, Kirkpatrick said.
I agree that it should be very clear in the language. I felt that the existing language was relatively clear, but there is always room for improvement and would welcome parks trying to put forward a method that would everyone could agree would be a more clear-cut way to make a determination.
Karen Hess, owner and operator of Chilkat Riverboat Adventures, did not want to comment on the findings Tuesday, but she said she will attend the Preserve's Advisory Council meeting this Thursday in Haines to hear more about the findings. The council meets Thursday at 9 a.m. in Haynesboro Assembly Chambers. Alaska Governor Sean Parnell announced Tuesday in Ketchikan that the state will immediately begin negotiations with a Ketchikan shipyard to design the first of at least two smaller ferries for the Alaska Marine Highway System, rather than the 350-foot ferry that had been planned. Parnell says the $120 million budgeted for the project would not be enough to build the larger ferry in-state. He says he's dedicated to constructing Alaska ferries in Alaska, which prompted the new plan. The governor stopped by station KRBD's studio and sat down with Lila Carey to talk about this new direction for the ferries.
The legislature and I worked together to appropriate $120 million for a new Alaska-class ferry, a 350-foot vessel. And we've recently received cost estimates back and discovered that we cannot build a 350-foot vessel in Alaska on budget at $120 million. And so I've been looking for alternatives. At first, we began looking, you know, how do you squeeze costs out of this Alaska-class vessel, this 350-foot vessel? How do you squeeze costs out of it so we can stay within the budgeted amount? And it just became clear that the cost estimates were really between about $150 and $167 million. So there was no real squeezing that could be done to get it down to the $120 million figure. And the plan really is to build more vessels here in Ketchikan than just that one in any event. And this first vessel or vessels are important for that reason, that we can't allow cost escalation and we can't allow building over budget. Because if we do, then we've demonstrated that maybe we ought to be looking elsewhere. You know, if we can't build in Alaska on budget, then there are other hungry shipyards in the rest of the country that would like that work. That's not satisfactory to me. I want these ships built in Alaska. I think Alaskans can build Alaska's ferries in Alaska. That's my goal. So then we began looking at how do we chop feet off this ferry? You know, how do we shrink the size of it? And you know what we found is if we actually look at this differently, if we quit looking at that 350-foot ferry as a main liner, as a, you know, with staterooms and everything, why not look at the function that it was really going to serve? And this vessel in particular was going to serve the Lynn Canal area around Juneau. So Juneau's Skagway, Haines, that kind of area is what the design was for. And we discovered that we could build two smaller Alaska-class ferries for that $120 million. So that's going to be the direction of this. That way, these vessels can still be built in Ketchikan, and we can actually build them in a less costly fashion. They can be run in a less costly fashion, run more efficiently.
That was Governor Sean Parnell talking with KRBD's Lila Carey in Ketchikan Tuesday. He also announced that his budget was close to complete and would be released December 14th. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.